Good afternoon, everybody. My wife just waved at me, so I know it's okay to start. My name is Bob Cameron. I'm current president of the Maryland Coalition Against Pornography. I also am the guilty party who created the programs, okay? Everyone has already pointed out to me that the benediction comes first and the opening prayer. The benediction comes last and the opening prayer is first. So we'll deal with that as we go along. I'm sorry, I seem to have a hoarse voice today. Excuse me. The Maryland Coalition Against Pornography was founded 30 years ago, as you might suspect it. MCAP is an all-volunteer organization focused in the National Capital Region. We work to protect children, families, and communities from the devastating effects of pornography by educating the public. Organized at the call of Bunny Nairn, who's here in the front row, who is with us today, although she moved to Florida, she still remains a steadfast and generous supporter. I understand that Bunny was motivated in part by the presence of an adult bookstore in her neighborhood, which I'm sorry to say still exists despite MCAP's many successes. Over the years, we have successfully lobbied the Maryland State Legislature to further criminalize prosecution of child pornography, the Prince George's County Council to restrict adult businesses, their hours and locations, actually closing many. Recently, you may have seen our mobile billboards in your community. We maintain an active program to educate citizens about the evils of addictive nature of pornography, encouraged enforcement of obscenity and pornography laws, support businesses and federal and state legislation to control obscenity and pornography, as well as providing support for those struggling with the addiction of pornography. We'd like to welcome everybody to our celebration. And now here's Bishop Paul Lewis to offer the opening prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee this afternoon with love in our hearts for thee and love for those who are dear to us. We thank thee for the opportunities we have to be a part of this great nation and a part of the organizations that help us to be better people. We pray for thy spirit to be with us this day, to guide those who are speaking, that they will know how to touch the hearts of everyone here and help us all to know how best to fight and approach the evils of pornography. And we pray that we might all be enlightened. And this we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Savannah Lawrence from the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, or NUCOSI, formerly known as Morality and Media, is with us today to discuss why porn should be declared a public health crisis. Savannah joined NUCOSI last spring as a legal fellow from Brigham Young University. She has a passion for social justice and is particularly concerned about those issues revolving around the family. She shares NUCOSI's passion for fighting against pornography because she recognizes how pornography destroys the family by weakening marital bonds and ostracizing children from their parents. Savannah spent her law school summers first in Uganda combating sexual crimes against women promulgated by that country's intestacy laws. Later, she served as a family law research assistant, as well as volunteering in the Provo Family Justice Center. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Lawrence. Savannah Lawrence.
Actually, that happens all the time. I haven't gotten Savannah very often, but usually on the phone, people will be like, oh, hi, Susanna. I'm like, yeah, okay, and I just go with it. One time, my stepdad's boss's daughter at her wedding introduced me to her new husband as Suzette. So I just go with it. I am excited to be here today. 30 years is a great accomplishment for MCAP, and they really have been able to accomplish a lot of really great things. Hopefully, we will be able to accomplish so many more together. And hopefully, the next task that we will really be able to accomplish together is having the state of Maryland declare pornography as a public health crisis. So that's what I'll be talking about today. So I wanted to start out, so we have a small crowd. I'm assuming most people here are religious. Is that correct? Not correct? Okay, and it's true, a large portion of us individuals who are fighting against pornography are religious, but the wonderful thing about our organization is that we are also able to cross divides, and especially with NACOSI, we have started the Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation, and each year we have a summit, and we're able to bring together individuals from both very religious standpoints and then also hardcore feminists, hardcore liberals who believe in ridding the world of sexual exploitation and the unfair practices that go on generally against women in this issue. So for myself, coming from a religious background, I knew very little about pornography. I knew that it was bad and not to watch it. And that was about it. So I'm going to go real quick through a couple of quick things about pornography, and then we're going to talk about why it is a public health crisis. So pornography is illegal. That's actually a pretty broad statement. For the most part, current pornography, the pornography that you can find online, is generally going to be considered illegal. I did not know that before working at NACOSI. I just figured it was so pervasive that it was sweeping the world and it was just something that we could do very little about. But under obscenity laws, the current obscenity laws make obscene material illegal. So current federal law prohibits the distribution of obscene material, which would be what we would call hardcore pornography, via the internet, cable, satellite, TV, hotel, motel TVs, common carriers, such as FedEx and UPS, and through the mail and in retail establishments. Now, this might be surprising to a lot of people, or maybe to you individuals, maybe you already know that it is illegal, but it is illegal. Unfortunately, it is just not being prosecuted right now. And now it's important to note that the laws make obscene material illegal. Not all pornography is necessarily obscene. The Supreme Court, in a case called Miller, established three prongs to determine what was obscene material versus in stuff that's protected by the First Amendment. So they came up with that first, the average person applying contemporary community standards would find that the work taken as a whole appeals to prurient interests, so it's overly sexualized. Second, the work depicts or describes in a patently offensive way, as measured by those contemporary standards, that the hardcore sexual conduct is specifically defined by the applicable law. So in those seven statutes, they sit there and they describe the type of sexual behavior that is considered illegal. And then third, that a reasonable person would find that the work taken as a whole lacks serious literary, artistic, political, and scientific value. So given this, really what can happen is if the Department of Justice were to bring a case to court, each of the members of the jury would be asked to consider whether the material being shown would fit under this obscenity three-prong test. For the most part, the current pornography that is available today would definitely be considered obscene. The Miller Court gave some information. They said it is possible, however, to give a few plain examples of what a state statute would define for regulation of this standard. The patently offensive material are representations or descriptions of ultimate sex acts, normal or perverted, actual or stimulated, and patently offensive representation or descriptions of masturbation, excretory functions, and lewd exhibition of the genitals. It's really weird talking about this in a chapel, but we're talking about pornography, so I'm sorry. In a legal sense, the court said obscenity may involve either simulated sex or involve explicit actual sex, or either type can be found obscene in any given community. So it really depends on the community standards. So if you go to Las Vegas, who knows what they'll say there, but you know, you would take normal individuals who really, looking at the type of pornography that is out there today, would probably consider a lot of what's out there obscene. And especially the term hardcore pornography refers to explicit materials that depict actual sex acts and show clearly visible penetration. And that is a majority of what we see in today's pornography. So what's out there today is illegal. Okay, so as I said before, really when I was younger, I just knew pornography is bad, and it's probably movies or films about sex. And that pornography shows nudity, sex acts, and erotically depicted excitement. And then there's softcore pornography, which is generally waist-up depictions of female nudity. And then there's hardcore pornography, which is lascivious depicted acts of the genitals or pubic area of a male or female body. So those are generally, when you think of pornography, I think this is what individuals generally think about. However, this is a very gentle way of describing pornography. I live in Virginia right now, and I was discussing this issue with my roommates. And for the most part, they just figured that pornography shows sex, kind of really what you might see on PG-13 or rated R scenes. Unfortunately, that is not the type of pornography that children and individuals are accessing via the internet. I'm going to go to the next slide, and I'm going to describe a little bit more, in a little bit further detail, what pornography nowadays actually is. And just a quick trigger warning, I tried to be as ungraphic as possible, but we are talking about some graphic, sad things. So, in an analysis of the 50 most popular pornographic videos, 88% of the scenes contain physical violence, and 49% contain verbal aggression. And all of these acts were against women. 87% of aggressive acts were perpetrated purposefully against women, and 95% of their responses were neutral or expressions of pleasure. And so that's what individuals are seeing. The typical pornography film is generally one woman and three men with oral, vaginal, and anal violent penetration. I'm sorry to describe it this way, but I think it's important to note that pornography is incredibly violent. It is not what It is not what most individuals would consider as sex. It's not the bonding opportunities that a couple would have together. It is much more violent and it's very destructive. So that's why we are phrasing it as a public health crisis. It's so much more than just sex. It shows violence against women, and it has lifelong addictive results for individuals. And probably most importantly is that it is incredibly pervasive. A nationally representative survey found that 64% of young people ages 13 to 24 are actively seeking out pornography weekly or more often. And a popular tube site reports that in 2015, individuals watched 4,392,486,580 hours of pornography on its site alone, and 54% of visits on its site are occurring via smartphones. So don't give your kids smartphones. Please. Please, please, please. As this slide says, it is beyond an individual's or a family's capacity to protect against pornography alone. Pornography is a public health crisis. It's a public health crisis. The public needs to come together and say, this is enough, we don't want it, and we're going to do something about it. The reason why it's a public health crisis is because it changes the brain. Men, women, and children are developing dependencies and addictions on pornography. It impacts the physical, psychological, and emotional developments of our children. It destroys families. It deters marriage and committed relationships. It's linked with anxiety and depression, sexual dysfunction. It normalizes sexual violence. It exploits women and children. It increases the demand for sexual abuse images, which normal people would call child porn, and it increases child sexual abuse, and it increases the demand for prostitute or trafficked men, women, and children. So let's go into the brain science a little bit. So the brain places priority on images over text, and so because pornography is image-based and more so video-based, so you're getting both audio and visual stimulation from it, it is very powerful. And individuals, when through images and audio, you're learning more effectively, and your reward system reacts more stimulated ways through these depictions. So many researchers have explained it is worse than a cocaine addiction. You can't get it out of your system. The images remain, and it makes longer lasting connections in your brain. So it's quite significant. Moreover, pornography disrupts brain chemicals. When you are participating in pornography and also in sexual acts, your brain releases dopamine and norepinephrine. And these help you focus, like in a normal sexual act, these would help you focus more on your partner and their positive characteristics, and they become more attractive, and it creates healthier, more exciting relationships. It makes the heart beat faster. It helps create lasting memories. So that's what happens in a healthy sexual relationship. However, with pornography, these chemicals are still released. So what it does is it creates a bond with the images, not real people. And it teaches the individual to learn to look at others as objects, because just focusing on the sexual act that they're watching and the sex organs create strong memories that makes the individual want more of that instead of more of the person. And so it's not helpful when it comes to pornography. As well, oxytocin, prolactin, and serotonin, which are endorphins, are also released during sexual acts and also during the watching of pornography. So in a healthy sexual relationship, this enhances senses of togetherness, and it makes the bond stronger and more lasting. It helps the individuals relax, and it increases trust, and it's satiety. You feel satisfied. However, with pornography, these momentary feelings of calmness are what draw the person back to the pornography when they're feeling stressed out or anxious with things. In order to be able to relieve those stresses and to feel satisfied. So that's what leads to hours and hours and hours of looking at pornography. However, it is important to note this last point, that our brains are plastic, they change. So when you're looking at pornography, your brain is changing significantly. And our brains changes with age and things like that. This is perfect for marriage and for proper personal relationships. It helps you be continuously attracted to the individual that you're with throughout the course of your life together. As you age and as you grow together, your bonds can still remain strong together. However, pornography disrupts this. Instead of finding your partner constantly attractive, instead you are constantly attracted to the image, and the age of pornography performers, which is not much older than 20. And so this hinders the connection that you could continue to have with your spouse, because you're expecting them to stay young and beautiful, but they are aging, and so you're not satisfied with that. And so that's another problem that occurs as the brain changes and grows. Pornography keeps it in more of a stagnant state. However, the one benefit of the fact that the brain changes over time is that our brains can heal and our brains can change back if we stop looking at pornography, and as those actions are ceased, an individual can regain proper human interaction and can relearn to fall in love with their spouse and human beings as opposed to just an image. So that is important to note and to remember, that there is healing. And for me, on a personal sense, that's beautiful, and that shows me, in a religious sense, sort of the power of repentance, if you will. And that's something that I appreciate for me in that way. Others would look at it simply as brain science, and that's okay. It's an argument for both sides in that way. Now, another reason why pornography is a public health crisis is because porn harms children. Children are exposed to pornography at earlier and earlier and earlier ages, especially as parents are handing their children pornography devices, aka smartphones or tablets or anything that has connection to the internet, is begging your child to look at pornography. Sorry for the couple of teenagers who are in the crowd. Pornography also fosters sexual miseducation, as children grow up looking at pornography, and then also pornified images that our culture is beginning to accept. They learn that that is what sex is supposed to be. That's what a relationship is supposed to be. And so this miseducation is really harming children, and we're seeing it more and more and more as millennials grow up, because they are the ones who were children as the internet came into being. Moreover, with children, pornography contains images that can never be erased, and so it is harder and harder for children to be able to overcome those thoughts and images. Even if they've seen it once or twice, it can still come back to their mind later in life. And so it is hard and scary and very disruptive for these young children. It also increases sexual callousness towards women. As we talked about before with what pornography actually is, it's incredibly violent, and that violence is geared against women. And so we see in today's culture that young boys in middle school and high school are participating in sexting and revenge porn and issues like that, and it is indicative of a desensitized view of women and an objectified view of women. Pornography can also have a huge effect on marriages and families. There's decreased sensitivity toward women. There are less progressive gender roles. There's an increased risk of becoming aggressive and abusive. More than three times, individuals who look at pornography are more than three times more likely to commit adultery and four times more likely to hire prostituted women. On a personal level, I know that this is true. This was an issue that my father had. He was addicted to pornography when I was a child, which led him to cheat on my mother multiple times and eventually go and purchase a prostitute and continue to cheat on her until the point that she decided that she could not remain in the marriage anymore. And so on a personal note, I know that this is incredibly destructive. It destroyed my family, and it created so many problems for me and my siblings growing up that this is something that we really have to work together to fight against. Moreover, pornography increases the risk of sexual dysfunction and dissatisfaction, as the brain looks at pornographic images. There is a greater need for more and more extreme stimuli. And so that is why people don't just look at softcore pornography. It goes from that to more hardcore, to more deviant sexual acts, to more child-themed pornography, to homosexual and lesbian acts. Even if they are a heterosexual individual, they're at least looking at those images to get the same satisfaction that they're looking for from the very first time that they looked at pornography. So these same issues will come within the marriage, and it leads the individual to not be satisfied within their sexual relationship with their partner. It also decreases trust in a spouse. It just does. It is cheating in my book, and it is hard to develop trust with someone who is going through that. So it also leads to a decreased desire to marry and have children. My generation is struggling to get married, it seems like, and pornography is one reason why that is a problem. Also, on a spiritual level, it decreases spirituality and also respect for life itself and individuals and human beings. So pornography also, another reason why it's a public health crisis is pornography also creates a lot of myths in an individual's mind as they're looking at pornography. They think that their behavior is normal and acceptable and common. And unfortunately, as more and more individuals are looking at pornography, it is becoming common. However, it's not normal. These are exaggerated stimuli, so it's still a great myth. Even as common as it may become, wrong is still wrong in my book. They also believe that their behavior doesn't hurt anyone, that it's just them that is watching it and that everything is all right. They think that it's about them. They think that men can pay for sex and go to prostitutes and that that is appropriate and fine. As they look at pornography, they think that performers don't say anything. They're not objectionable to the violence that is being performed against them. Sex is considered casual and women are considered objects. Pornography increases violence. In a study of 804 Italian males and females aged 14 to 19, they found that pornography use and sexual violence were significantly correlated. Females who watched pornography were significantly more likely to become a victim of sexual harassment or sexual assault, and males who viewed pornography were significantly more likely to report having sexually harassed or forced someone into sexual or into having sex with them. So yeah, those are some major problems. Another mega analysis of 46 studies provides that clear evidence confirming that pornography exposure is one important factor contributing directly to the development of sexually dysfunctional attitudes and behaviors. These include sexually deviant tendencies, committing sexual offenses, difficulties within an intimate relationship, and accepting rape myths. So, at NACOSI, we believe that pornography is linked to all forms of sexual exploitation, that all exploitation is connected together. We have sex trafficking, pornography, prostitution, violence against women, sexualization of children. All of these things can be seen just within pornographic videos themselves, and that they are all linked and connected together. And so that's another reason why pornography itself is a public health crisis. We find that more links show that committing sexual offenses and accepting rape myths, the more that individuals look at pornography, the more clear and consistent these things are related, that an individual who looks more and more at pornography will accept rape myths and is more likely to commit sexual offenses. It doesn't mean that every individual who's looking at pornography is going to go commit sexual offenses, but it throws them into the way more likely boundary. And so that's another reason why we need to protect our children and ourselves from these issues, that we don't ever throw ourselves into that grouping. It also leads to an increased verbal and physical aggression. Just the more that you look at violent images and violent videos, the more aggressive you become. Pornography is also linked to more deviant behavior. So here at the bottom we have hardcore pornography and then promiscuity and addictions, and it can lead to prostitution, sex trafficking, child pornography, and then ultimately child sexual abuse. So I know that I'm talking to the crowd or to the choir when I say that pornography is definitely a vile institution and something that we need to get rid of. So I have just a couple more slides on the horrors of pornography, and then we'll move on to how to battle it properly. So we can see that that pornography is shaping our culture. We see that individuals are looking at pornography on a large scale, and that it's creeping more and more into our advertising and issues like that. Within our organization, we battle against Cosmopolitan, the magazine Cosmo, all the time, because splashed up on every front cover is something way overly sexualized, things that children and teenage girls do not need to know or look at or even have in their brains. But because of the overacceptance that is occurring with the pervasiveness of pornography, softcore pornographic images and ideas are creeping into the rest of our culture. This is also occurring. This is another reason why we are seeing so many issues with campus sexual violence on college campuses. I really hate this picture. As you can see, it says, "Rowdy and fun. Hope your baby girl is ready for a good time. Drop her off here." And another one that says, "You can drop your wife off too." Clearly, these young men have major issues, and no one would ever want to send their daughter or their son to a college like this, because their daughters would be expected to act like what these things are telling them to act like, and their sons would be individuals likely to promulgate this sort of behavior as well. And so we're seeing the effects of pornography in every aspect of our culture, and it's quite quite sad. Also, last one on the sadness of pornography, and this is something that is my personal nemesis at the moment. At Nicosi, I'm the legal fellow at Nicosi, so I'm an attorney. I am currently working on an amicus brief to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is one of 11 circuits in the United States. They are one step down from the Supreme Court. And the Ninth Circuit covers 9 states in the West. And what is going on right now is a pro-prostitution group is suing the state of California for their anti-prostitution laws. And I'm writing an amicus brief to the Ninth Circuit, in essence, begging them to keep prostitution illegal. The state of California is doing a great job representing the constitutional reasons why the state of California has a right to say that that prostitution is illegal. However, we are submitting our amicus brief to let the court know how completely harmful prostitution is. So I have spent the last 4 months reading over 60 research studies that show the harms of prostitution. And I cannot tell you how many nights I have spent weeping because of the horrors that are enacted against prostituted women. And in every research article that I have read, it continuously says over and over and over again that prostitution is inherently violent, that the act of purchasing an individual for sex is inherently a violent, sexually aggressive act. And yet, to my horror and frustration, the argument doesn't just end there. I can't just make that statement and show these 60 studies that say that. I have to go into greater detail and show the amount, the connections of prostitution and rape, the connections of prostitution and murder, the connections of prostitution and drug addiction, the connections of prostitution and sex trafficking. And I scream inside with rage and horror that you cannot simply say prostitution is inherently violent. And as I've looked at it more and more, and as I consider more and more the effects of pornography, I recognize that it is pornography that is creating this myth that prostitution is sex work, that it is something that an individual should aspire to, because it is pornography that shows these violent acts against women. It is pornography that shows that these things are okay and desired, and that people should aspire to these things. And so it is pornography that truly is destroying our society, and we need to do something about it. So, one of the greatest ways that we can attack pornography right now is by, within our state legislatures, having them pass a resolution to recognize pornography as a public health crisis. The state of Utah, that's what this picture is, this is the picture of the signing of the resolution in Utah, showing that the state of Utah recognizes that pornography is a public health crisis. Now, having just a resolution, it doesn't have legal teeth. It doesn't say pornography is illegal, it's bad, moving on. Simply, it says that they recognize that pornography is a public health crisis. So some of my friends, especially from law school, snarkily remark that it doesn't have teeth, so what can you do? But really what it is first, it lends so much authority to the discussion that is being had. It shows this state recognizes the problems and the issues that are coming from pornography. It also puts political pressure on the legislature that, okay, you recognize it's a health crisis, so now what are you going to do about it? It also helps the legislature with political pressure to start task forces that will battle this issue and find ways to prevent it from being so easily accessible to our children. It allows them to then provide funding for research to show the harms and how to battle it further. It also, in Utah, they're considering considering more laws on how to better filter pornography in schools and libraries and how to provide filtering for individual families and communities so that pornography is not nearly as easily accessible as it currently is. Moreover, at least in Utah, we found that passing this resolution helped in changing the debate, because before this, it was always considered that pornography was a moral issue. And so individuals who didn't ascribe to religious values or ideals would just easily dismiss it and say, you are moral, religion, crazy people, we're not going to listen. But we found with the passing of this resolution in Utah, every single news article that talked about it talked about pornography as a public health crisis. It was not determined to be a morality issue. It was simply research and science showing that this is a problem, that we need to do something to battle it. And so it's created so much momentum to move the work forward. And it's really been fantastic to see the benefits that we have been able to find since that time. We've been able to have so many victories because of that itself. So this resolution is important. Currently, we have about 11 other states of individuals and groups similar to MCAP that are wanting to take this battle on. They're wanting to take it to their legislatures, and there are individuals within each state legislature that are willing to sponsor this resolution. And so similarly in Maryland, that same thing can happen. What needs to happen is we need to get the word out. We need to share it with others. We need to bring together more than just our current religious circle, but also our coworkers, our friends, our communities, to come together to say pornography is inherently violent. Pornography is a public health crisis, and we as a public need to work together to recognize it as a public health crisis. As we do so, will put pressure on the political legislature so that they will have no choice but to recognize pornography as a public health crisis. In Utah, they did a wonderful job of finding individuals within the Utah legislature who would carry the bill, and it passed unanimously. It's incredible. And that same thing can happen in other states, including Maryland. We know that Maryland is somewhat of a liberal-leaning state in many ways. However, this is a liberal issue too. It is a public health crisis. Science shows that this is an issue. Pornography leads to sexual exploitation of women. It is not a it is not part of the feminist movement. We have several videos on our website of one of our close friends and allies. Her name is Gail Dines, and she is a hardcore feminist. And she says any feminist should be fighting against pornography because feminism wants equality for the sexes, and pornography is inherently unequal. And it shows great violence against women, and it shows great depravity of the of humanity. And feminists are more about humanity than they are often painted to be. And so even in liberal states, this can pass, and we can show, the pornographers that we're not buying in this state, and that it's not okay, and that we're going to do everything that we can to stop it. Additionally, within our organization, we work on multiple fronts to end the spread of pornography. One of the other ways that we do this is with our Dirty Dozen list. So each year we gather together the generally it's like a list of like 20 that we start out with of organizations that are promulgating sexual exploitation, that are facilitating sexual exploitation through their business practices and issues. And through that, we narrow it down to a list of 12, and we call them our Dirty Dozen. And we fight, and we have quite a campaign against these 12 companies on our list. So as you can see near the bottom right, we have Starwood Hotels. We have often had hotels on our list because of pornography, pay-per-view pornography in their hotel rooms. So we had Starwood on there. We've also had Hilton on there. And last year, with Hilton being on there, we created campaigns and email campaigns for this list of companies where individuals can sign on, send an email that we've already written that just says, I don't like what your business practices are, please change it. And last year, Hilton called us shortly after being put on the Dirty Dozen list saying, what can we do to get off the Dirty Dozen list? We are receiving, their top executives were receiving at one point over 1,000 emails a week saying, stop selling pornography. And so they called us and they said, what do we have to do to get off your list? We will do it. And so as by the end of this year, over 2 million hotel rooms will be free of pay-per-view pornography because of the Dirty Dozen list. So, we all have a voice. I'm not gonna get into politics, but your voice matters. Your vote counts in this way. You can go online, you can sign up, for these petitions, and the dollar matters. These companies want your money, and when they hear from you in mass, they are willing to listen. And so we found great success with the Dirty Dozen list. Our organization at online, you can find endsexualexploitation.org. We have an action center where you can go on and sign our email campaigns and get involved in small ways that make a huge difference globally. So we'll be having a new list coming up for 2017. Generally, we roll out with that in February or March with the new list. But there are things that can be done. We don't just have to sit and take what's going on. We can speak out. As parents and families, we need to talk about pornography. So often it is, it's a word that is not discussed in civilized company. I find myself somewhat of a social pariah a little bit, because as I meet new individuals at parties or whatnot, they ask what I do and I get them stuck into a conversation about pornography. And then other people are looking because they just overhear, they hear the word pornography, pornography, pornography. As I work in this field, I find that it is easy to talk about because it is an issue and it's something that needs to be discussed. Children need to know the dangers and the horrors of pornography. They need to know what they will be looking at. You can't just say it shows sex because children are curious and they're going to want to look. But as you tell them that it shows violent, violent behavior, that it shows swearing and slapping and hitting and mean, terrible things, children will inherently know, oh, that is bad and I don't want to see that. And so they will be able to be more educated about what pornography is and why it is harmful and why they need to stay away from it. We also need to talk about it more within our communities and together as individuals, because this is a problem of international proportions that we need to speak up, we need to speak out, and we need to give a voice to the fact that it is a horror and that it's something that we need to battle against. And as we do so, we will find great success. And I have full confidence that we can do something about this. There are so many problems in the world today, and pornography is one of the great stemming reasons behind it all. But we can all do something, and we need to start by speaking out. And that's what I have to say. I was going to end in a religious way, but this is not that. But you have a voice. Let it be heard. Speak out and stand up for what's right. And together we can end pornography. Thank you.
Thank you, Savannah. Couple of highlights for me is, first of all, the whole issue of pornography and the community standards, and I think that's what we're really talking about. I think making the petition for creating, declaring the public health crisis will be significant in creating that public, that community standard. Also, I was delighted to hear that recovery is possible. Thank you very much for that. Now I'd like to recognize Peggy Karen, past president of our organization and current chair of our education committee, to make a few presentations. She, I thought that was going to be the case. She left them in the other room. That's right. You can also sign the petition online. We do have copies of the petition in the other room. Excuse me. And I can't dance, so you'll just have to listen to me vamp, as they say, to fill this time. I was afraid that was going to happen. So this is an ongoing operation. Lately, we have been had a mobile billboard that we've been showing around the area with asking people to attack the porn issue. Okay, here she comes, finally.
We've been active on a variety of fronts, and I was sorry, Eva Murphy, our legislative chairperson, is out of town celebrating her 80th birthday. She could tell you a little bit about some of our initiatives. One of the, you know, we want to act locally as well as globally, and one of the things we're trying to do is the petition. We're also trying to pursue the county council in Prince George's County to emulate some work that was done in Montgomery County, and we congratulate them to, in the cases of prostitution, not go after the girls, the women that are being prostituted so much, but go after the Johns, the ones that are making victims of these girls. And so Montgomery County's made some good moves in that direction. We want to encourage those in Prince George's County to do the same. And there are certain kinds of businesses we are trying to move against. We're trying to publicize a little of the unsavory character of these businesses. I don't know if you've heard of Sexpresso cafes. It's more than coffee that they're selling. It's not just espresso. Unsavory businesses that operate locally. Well, we would like to recognize some of the folks that have been really helpful to us. It's just a short list, and a couple of people couldn't be here, but I thought their efforts were worth speaking about. One is Kristen Thompson, and she lives in the Clinton area. It's a bit of a distance for her, and she was unable to come, but she was instrumental in attending almost 3 years' worth of hearings that dealt with strip club in Prince George's County called the Harley Riders Club. They were riding in not a motorcycle way there. And it's a club that it was operating, you know, out of the realm of legality in terms of where you can have a business that is so sexually explicit. And they kept postponing the hearings. They'd have another one postponed again. She was right there every time, and she had her facts, she had her slideshows, she had all the legal documents, and she carried the show. And that club, along with 12 other strip clubs in Prince George's County, were closed in 2016. So we're having some luck with combating these things. Yes, I wish Christian was here. Another person we'd like to recognize. Redid our whole website this year, and he's with us today. Paul, I just want to give you a small certificate to say thank you. Our website was much in need of reworking, updating. Websites are such an important aspect of our outreach and education. Thank you, Paul. And he's one of you. Is there anyone here from the office of the Prince George's County Attorney's, Jared McCarthy, as the head of that office? They had hoped to send someone, but I'm not sure if they could make it. They were the instrumental attorneys representing Prince George's County's laws that helped shut down those 12 strip clubs this year. And they still have probably some more work to do. There's probably still some appeals that are going forward. The appeals process never seems to end, but they had some great successes this year. So I'm sorry there's nobody here to officially welcome, accept it for them. But thank you to them. And lastly, we want to mention someone who has been very helpful with being on our Speakers Bureau. And he is the one of the campus ministers at the University of Maryland Catholic Student Center. He's made some radio appearances and kind of energized as representative us at the End Exploitation Summit this year. Matt, I'm so glad to see you here, and we want to thank you for the energy and the work that you present to MCAP. Come on, get your certificate. Do you want to say anything about things that are going on? So Matt O'Hara. And he's a new father.
Great, yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Surprise. So I'm Matt O'Hara, campus minister over at the University of Maryland. And, a couple things. So I got to go to the summit by Nicosi in Houston about a month ago, sponsored by MCAP and Nicosi. And I just, I learned a whole bunch of things. One thing I want to highlight is, so who's heard of Fight the New Drug? Anyone? Yeah, the younger generation. Fight the New Drug, right? They are the cool website for teens or for the young generation to make fighting porn cool. They have a lot of great media. And so long story short, fight, I forgot to tell you this, Peggy, Fight decided to film me in one of their, for a documentary coming up. And so for those who follow Fight, they're in No Porn November right now. And this past week was Research Week, and I think this week is Personal Counts Week. And they just told me yesterday that the video of me will be going up online this coming week. And so look them up on Fight the New Drug, on Facebook, on the website. My personal story is about being an addict, having that go into my marriage, and having that restored through my relationship with my wife. And so we go into detail in the video. So yeah, at Maryland, we run purity accountability groups. I currently counsel or run groups that have 25 college guys in it, and they are constantly texting each other, calling each other, and we meet weekly to fight their addiction. And we always, the three things we fight for is fighting for God, fighting for our future spouse, and fighting for each other. And so I do know that there are people, and the movement is going on its way, together we can fight this epidemic of pornography. So, sure. Yeah, I'm representing Fight the New Drugs, Porn Kills Love shirt, that's their swag. So, anyway, thank you so much, Peggy. Yeah.
And Savannah, we were just very happy you could share so eloquently today. Thank you for doing work that is really difficult, you know, mind-bending, draining. I hear you, and thank you for what you do. We just have a small token. Opportunities to work a lot with you.
Thank you so much.
This is for your organization.
Thank you.
Yes. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
We have one more round of applause. I'll hand it back to you.
Okay. Got piles of paper now. Okay. We'd like to thank you all for being here today. MCAP would especially like to offer our special thanks to the All New Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for allowing us the use of their facility today. And of course, as any responsible 501c3, we would also like to offer you the opportunity to contribute financially to our efforts. Okay, hopefully we'll be able to continue the mobile billboard and some other advertising things. The principal thing that we're interested in, of course, is ensuring that community standards are enforceable. Okay. We also like you to sign our petition for the state of Maryland to declare pornography a public health, and that's in the other room. Donation baskets and copies of the petition and some light refreshments are available in the other room. Now I'd like to ask Jeremy Hodges from the Wildercroft Church of Christ to offer the closing prayer. Benediction, sorry.
I would like to personally thank all the kindness that I've been extended thus far and all the hard work that has been put forward. It's great to be able to hear from Bob about the things that are going on, all the hard work he puts in, and being able to talk to Peggy about all the work that she's put into it. And I want to say thank you especially to Savannah for engaging in such a difficult activity, which is to speak about issues that are ugly issues in a place that is supposed to be set aside and for things that are positive, healthy, and beneficial. So I want to say thank you for her doing that. And I also want to thank her for doing a very difficult thing. She's speaking about something that is of a moral issue, and she's trying not to make it too much about faith, and I appreciate her working at that, but I don't have those kind of compunctions. And so I have no shame in being able to see it's important for us to realize that we are to flee immorality, every other sin that a man commits outside of the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So I'm perfectly fine being the religious side of this discussion. Let's go ahead and go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving Creator, we're so thankful that you've given us this opportunity. We're so thankful that we're able to speak about these things with frankness, with bravery, even though they are hard. We're so thankful that you have given us the ability to stand shoulder to shoulder with one another, working to stem the tide of immorality and gross misuse of the flesh that is so prevalent in the world around us. We understand and we respect that there are so many who are engaging in this due to the violence and ugliness that has been perpetrated against them. We understand that there are so many who are engaging in this due to ignorance. Help us to be the ones who would be brave, to not fall prey to ignorance, to not look the other way in regards to violence, but to take up the charge, to see our responsibility, and to put our hands together with those who would work so hard to stand, to form the line, so that we might be the ones that would change the world. We understand that we all have different capacities and thus different responsibilities, but help us look to our own lives, help us look to our own worlds and our own circles of influence, so that we might see what is correct and appropriate, so that we would have the great demonstration in our lives of a dedication to holiness, realizing that it is our responsibility before you to give you glory in everything. Give us the strength, give us the courage, and give us the grace when we fail. We understand that everything we have is from you, and to you we give thanks through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much. Let's adjourn to the other room.